10 participants, so we're already at 15. So maybe we can start, as usual, with a quick introduction to the speaker.
Xuwen.
Is a postdoc, is a postdoc fellow at the Institute of Astrophysics in Canary Islands since January 2019. After a PhD that he got at the Nanjing University in China, where he awarded a China Scholarship Council Fellowship. A PhD co-supervised by Emanuele Dadi, and so he spent a 2-year visit at COA Saclay. Xuwen has been proposed by Guylaine, so thank you, Guylaine, for proposing him. We can start. Xuwen, we have 30 minutes roughly, so 20, 25 for your presentation, then questions. I invite everybody to raise the hand or post the questions on the chat, even during the seminar.
Thank you, Guylaine. Thank you, Carlo. I'm here to present this talk, the super deep learning technique, which is the powerful to search for the most distant dusty galaxies and or otherwise dusty galaxies with extreme perspectives. Sorry, I'm a bit sick. My name is Xuwen Jin. I'm currently a postdoc at IAC Spain. This work is in collaboration with Dr. Emanuele Dadi, who is my PhD supervisor, and Daizong Liu, who is a postdoc now at MPA, and George Smaglis and other collaborators. Well, I can't skip this question. Okay. This talk includes two sections. The first section is the super deep learning technique, which is my PhD work. And the second section is my recent work, which are ARMA and NOIMA follow-up of high redshift candidates selected from this catalog. Firstly, this is the motivation. The far infrared and submillimeter data, they are very important because they are tracing the code.
I'm sorry, Xuwen.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry, Xuwen. We don't see your slide.
Moving, yeah.
No. Oh.
No. No, if you exit the full screen, it's fine.
Yeah.
You mean?
Maybe.
You don't see it? It's no more?
No. Not change. No.
Okay, so
it doesn't change.
So yeah. let me convert it to PDF, then we can see slides.
Sure.
I'm sorry I take but give me 1 minute.
No worry.
To present no stage of views. Now here is so how to full screen and the full screen.
It's working, yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so let's start. Yeah, this worker is in collaboration with the Saclay paper and the MPA paper and the Copenhagen papers. And the first section is my PhD work, the super deep learning technique and the Cosmos catalog. And the second section is the ARMA and the NOEMA follow-up of the high Z candidates from this catalog. the motivation is that we would have the good fine frame and some millimeter photometry to have better stuffing rate at infrared. So if we can have the best fine infrared and millimeter photometry, so the deviation for the infrared stuffing rate will be nicer. And the second part is that the fine infrared and sub millimeter data, they are very useful to select the high ratio dusty galaxies, because the left panel, as you see in the left panel, this is the up to 20 template. When you shift it to different redshift, you can see that at millimeter wavelength, the brightness of this galaxy it does not decrease with the increased redshift. It's we call it a negative key correction. So given the strong negative key correction in the dust SED, the millimeter wavelengths they are enable us to detect very distant galaxies even up to redshift greater than 6. And there on the right panel you can see is there an example of a high redshift galaxy at redshift 6.3, which is selected which is initially selected using the ultra red Herschel colors by Richards, and they finally confirmed that redshift 6.3 using PDBI and other telescopes, and detecting many lines, including CO, H2O, and carbon one, etc. But fine infrared data, they are so nice and so important. But there is a problem. It's we call it a blending. This is because the most fine infrared and sub millimeter telescopes, their images, their resolution, they are very poor. This is an example. This is the VRA 3 GHz radio data, and this resolution is very high. There is no confusion and no blending in this image. But when you move to on the same sky area, when you move to the mid 24 micron, its resolution is about 6 arc sigma. And you can see that the imager is the detection is nice. We detect many sources, but there are some more sources they are blended. And given the 24 micron data, and we can use the prior based PSF fitting to have better photometry, deblended photometry for such imagers. But the more important thing is the fine infrared and the sub millimeter. For example, the Herschel. Herschel is very important, but it's very, very poor. It has very poor resolutions. And now you can see that one beam of the Herschel 350 micron, and it contains even more than 100 galaxies. And you don't know what is the photons come from which galaxies. So we had to do deep blending, and our solution is that it's the super deep blending technique. This technique is complicated, and but in short, the philosophy is that we can fit the imager in all of the resolutions. So it means that we can firstly fit the high resolution imager in a deep field, then using the photometry from the high resolution imager and to derive the photometry at other wavelengths, and yes, on the precision of priors, and we need to exclude a very fine source in the long wavelengths, for example Herschel, because we can't it doesn't work if you simultaneously fit in all galaxies, and you will get nothing. So we have to exclude some hopelessly fine source and care about only care about the bright source. Also, we need to create in the measured photometry with Monte Carlo simulations because the output, generally the output is not there. Photometry uncertainties, they're not Gaussian. This technique includes some key procedures. The first one is we need to select a deep prior catalog, which include as many as it can be the position of known galaxies, known source. And the second one is the acid fitting, which is used to exclude fine sources. Third one is PS fitting. In our work, we are using GalFit and fit the imager on the position of the priors. And the fourth one is the Monte Carlo simulations to have Gaussian-like uncertainties. The last one is a residual source extraction, because when you fit all source you know, and you can still find some detection in the residual map. And this residual, they have no optical counterparts, and they are a good candidate for high redshift source. Currently, we have two super deep learning catalog. The first one is in the Cosmos, which is my work. And the second one is the Goose Nose one. It's done by Daizong Liu. The methods, they are totally the same, they're identical, but we are using different prior catalogs. In Cosmos, we use about 200,000 K-band and radio priors. And Daizong, he's using K-band and IRAC priors. And the both catalogs are published and it's free to use. Because this technique is so complicated, so to better understand it, I will show you an example in the super deep learning process. The left panel is the imager, the 24 micron spacer and the VLA 3 GHz. In these two data sets, the blending is not, there's no blending in the VLA data, and the blending in MIPS 24 is not very bad, and so we can use the GalFit fit on the position of the key band and radio priors, and we can easily get the deep blended photometry for at 24 micron. Yeah, it's this data point and the VLA 3 GHz photometry. So with these two high resolution photometry, and we can run acid fitting to predict their flux at longer wavelengths, other wavelengths like Herschel and SWA2. So it looks like we are building a bridge. And when you build a bridge, you need to start from the easy thing. The easy things there in this work, they are 24 micron imager fitting and the radio imager fitting. And with these two, we can go step by step to build this bridge and to have the four SED. So next step, we need to sort the predicted flux for bright source. For example, this one is at 250 micron, and the center source is predicted to be very bright, greater than 10 milliansky, and another source nearby it is predicted to be very faint, less than one milliansky, and so we need to, for the bright source like this one, the first one, we need to keep it as the next imager. And we will fit it at next band. And for the very fine source, so we need to exclude them because we can't fit everything. Is that the imager is too crowded. We have our criteria is that we keep to fit about one source per bin, and this is the flask cut. About this cut, we fit in 350 micron, and about this one, we exclude them and subtracted their flux from the 350 micron imager. Yeah. Why? It doesn't move. Okay. Oh, yeah. This is so we can fit the 350 micron. We only show this figure because the nearby one is excluded. We don't care about it. So we run SED fitting again with known photometry with from other to, including the 250 micron and to run SED fitting again to have the prediction for 350 micron. So for this source, the central source and the 350 micron is bright enough, and we keep it at next step. I have to see that for each band, for each imager, when we finish the Galfit fitting, we run Monte Carlo simulation to create the flux and the flux uncertainties, and run SED fitting again to predict the longer wavelengths. So at five micron, for sure we also fit it, and we can obtain a 550 micron. For this source, and we do the same thing, run Monte Carlo simulation and run SED, include this new 500 micron photometry to predict the next band 850 micron scuba 2. So in scuba 2 imager is also well detected, and we do it again, do the same thing. So yeah, this up to the scuba 2 imager, this for this source is the deep learning is done, and so we can have many Herschel and scuba 2 photometry. Then we run a final SED fitting to have with the photometry redshift, photometric redshift, and supplement rate. This is for this one is done, and actually we need to do box by box because the map is very large, 2 square degrees, and we do it for about 200,000 source in the Cosmos field. And this work is very large. We need to run parallel computation. It takes, this is the time I used in Starkey machine. Now is the results. The left one is maybe 24 micron compared to the left log. America F-log blind catalog, and the right one is the VRA 3 GHz compared to small sheesh, it's blind catalog. Those blind catalogs, they are often cut at the ratio 5 sigma because you cannot go to lower signal to noise ratio. It will suffer from very high spurious rate, and but our catalog is prior based. So you already know the precision of the gas. And so we can go down to 6 to noise ratio 3. So compared to their blind catalogs, and our catalog contains twice more detections. So we got about 83,000 24 micron detections and 18,000 radio detections in the Cosmos field. Now this is the photometry compared to Herschel Park's catalog, and they are also in good agreement. The 100 micron and 160 micron. This is a comparison to scuba 2 from Gitch's catalog. The flux, they are in good agreement, and compared to the detection number, we got 3 times larger detections than their work. We also compared to the ARMA archive data, because Dai Zhong is working on the A3 Cosmos catalog, which is extracting the ARMA detection from the ARMA archive in the Cosmos field. So we have a comparison to them. This is the left one shoulder, 850 micron flux to flux comparison. And the right one is the, it's a sigma. It's the difference between the two catalog. You can see that the sigma is, the dispersion is it's about one. So we have, so this also confirms that our superdependent photometry, they are very nice. They are correctly derived. So this is the list of the final catalog. And it contains 11 bands and 10 of the 11 data, they suffer from from confusion. Only the 3 gigahertz VLA has no blending. Other data, they're all of them, they are blended. This is our result on the median uncertainties. So we produce the deblended catalog at about 10 bands for about 200,000 galaxies. And in this catalog, we got about 11,000 infrared detections. Which is currently the largest infrared galaxy sample in the cosmos. So because we have SED fitting for every galaxy in this catalog, so we can select a sample of high redshift galaxies. And the left one is an example of highly kindness. The redshift about 5.1. We are using Gene-20 template. The right side shows the redshift versus the infrared starting red. You can see that the photometric redshift extending up to even 7. So in our work, in my work, we selected about 85 candidates at redshift 4. So now we go to the signal part. It's that from this high Z candidates, we follow up with ARMA and NOEMA because we need to confirm their redshift. This is the ARMA and NOEMA follow-up for redshift gradient 6 candidates. This is I show 3 examples. This is the deep-blended SED in our work. The selection criteria are very strict. Firstly, we require the photometric redshift ratio to get at least gradient 5 using Gene-20 template. If you are using the Richards galaxy template, their redshift will be at redshift greater than 6. Secondly, we require that they have no detection at the K band and HST imager, and which is kindly somewhat optically dark. And thirdly, we require a secure counterpart, at least in IRAC or radio imager. And at last, we require that there are 5 infrared and some millimeter signal noise ratio greater than 5 and red Herschel colors. So in this way, we follow up 8 sources with ARMA, 4 for ARMA and another 4 for NOEMA 3 millimeter line scans. And we confirm the all ratios. This is the ARMA spectrums. The first one is the most distant one at ratio 5.85, and which is currently our record. And we got 2 lines, and other one line is on the edge, and we got which is enough to confirm its ratio. The second one only has 1 lines, and we exclude other ratio solutions because we don't see other line in this the frequency range. The third one is 2 lines, and the last one with the CO423 and the C1120. This work has been published in this one. This is the ARMA, the NOIMA 3-minute spectra, which has not been published yet. The 6 noise ratio is much nicer than the ARMA samples. And the line, we got CO423, and for other 3 sources, we got CO423 and C1120. And the detection is very nice. So in summary, we got a 100% success rate in detecting both lines and the continuous and the confirmed all the 8 ratios. Now this is a comparison between the dust temperature and the redshift. Because as I said, the initial selection is that we are requiring the photometric redshift greater than 6, but actually, unfortunately, we didn't got any galaxies at redshift greater than 6. The most distant one is the redshift 5.85, which is nice, but other sources, they are all about the redshift at redshift 4. And if you fill their ACD with the spectroscopy redshift, and you will find that their dust temperature, they are pretty cool. Because there is a degeneracy between the dust temperature and the redshift. So this is the result. Now I show some other properties for this sample. And we find the compact and merging morphologies for this galaxy. Their ARMA sizes, they are very compact, all less than 3 kiloparsecs. And for the first one, the redshift 5.85, you can see there is the IRAC image is more extended than the ARMA one, and which is a merger. And this this merger also confirmed by another work by Kathleen Casey. For other resources, and all of them has no key band detections, and their IRAC colors are very red. Compared to the literature work, this work, we confirmed 2 more galaxies at the redshift greater than 5, and the most distant one is the redshift 5.85. This is the most distant and length galaxies. I list the other 3 galaxies at redshift greater than 6, but these 3 sources, they are actually all gravitationally lensed. So we are currently holding the record for the most distant and lensed SMGs. Another extreme properties for this sample is that their dust temperatures are very cold, and also we found their regions beta slope, they are very steep. In this SED plot, you can see that the red data is the ARMA detection, and which are all below the prediction of SED with gene 20 template. And you can see their beta slope, the measured beta slope is 22.5, 2.4, and they are all greater than 2, which is very, this is very unusual, because in literature, all the beta slope you can find is generally 1.8 or 2. No one is greater than 2. So we had to think why, what's going on there. So now we back to the dust temperature versus the redshift plot. We are suspecting that the CMB could have effect on the measured 3 millimeter 3-minute continuum and the region slopes. The CME temperature is compared to our CME, the CME temperature is just about a factor of 2 lower than our gas. And so because of the extremely cold dust, the CMB, because CMB is a background, it is everywhere. When you observe the dusty gas, if the dusty gas is very cold, the CMB could diminish the continuum measured from the gas. So this is the our toy model that you can image. We can assume that this white building is the SMG, and the water CMB is a background everywhere. And when the water goes higher, and the SMG you see, the building you see will be smaller than before. So we know that at high ratio, the semi temperature is much warmer. So which might be a non-negligible background against the galaxy you observed. There are already some theoretical work on the CME effect on galaxies. The first one is the Quinn's work. And for a unresolved source, you can see the continuum, the CME effect on the continuum at the Armour band 1 or band 3. At the redshift gradient 6, the observed continuum will be lower in factor of 2. Also the CMB plays or additional heating source on the gas. So also a background on the line emission. So the line is also diminished. Another worker.
Sorry,
is
a, Shawan.
So excuse me.
You have, let's say, 1 minute left.
So oh, I'm sorry.
If you can conclude.
I'm sorry. Another one is from John for resolved source. And we re-analysis the SED of our armor source. And we find that we can recover the standard region slope when CMB is taken into account. So this work shows the first direct evidence of CMB impact on the high Z galaxies. This is the Noema sample. Again, we got a cold dust temperature and regions, steeper region slope, and the CMB impact is even more robust. We also compared the superdependent square 2 and versus the armor photometry for the individual source in these 8 galaxies, and we find they are very well agreed. So we got compared to the mid-sequence galaxies, and our sample, they have extremely cold dust. So this is a new population which has been missed in current surveys. And we proposed, we are now working on to distinguish to why they are so cold, and we prefer the second solution that their dust are very compact, that they're optically thick in the fine thread and making the SED appear as cold. But actually they are very hot in the core. This is another case is the GN20, which has been published by Cortesen et al. You can see the optical thin and optical dark, optically thin and always thick. They are actually very, very similar, but the center, the excitation temperature, they are very different. The optical thick one show much higher temperatures. Okay, and this is the list of the publication related to the superdependent work. The Cosmos catalog is from my work, and the Kuznets one is Daejeon's one. And we also using the radio data to select the high ratio galaxy clusters. Finally, we got, recently we discovered a ratio 2.9 galaxy grouper published in the DAD's work. And my ARMA work, and I'm still working on the NOIMA work. The ongoing work is that, and we also, as I have to emphasize that, we also have new data from Meerkat 1.3 gigahertz, and we have done the deep learning on it. If someone interesting, you can contact me and Jarvis at all. And we are also working on deep learning the new scuba 2 map from Simpson. And in the future, there will be much interesting to have the NICA 2 imager and the MIT Toltec imager. So this is the take-home measure. So the first one I have to say that the super deep learning technique is a well designed and it's a powerful tool for selecting high ratio dusty galaxies. And we using ARMA and NOIMA, we confirmed a sample of high ratio galaxy at ratio 4 to 6 and river a population with extremely cold dust and show the first direct evidence of CMB impact. We expect to see the new data from millimeter surveys from NICA 2 or RMT Toltecs. Thank you.
Thank you, Shouwen.
Sorry, I'm a bit sick. So.
That's fine. No worry. So, any comment or question? I
might have one, if I may.
Yeah, please.
Hi, thanks for the talk. Just one question that I might have missed. I might have missed it. But how does your technique depend on the characteristic of the dust that you put in a set fitting, like emissivity or grain size? Have you checked this? Or maybe I didn't understand the super deep blending.
Actually not. It's not depending on that. We just use the quick model from Magdis et al.
But to get the set fitting, you should imply dust physics, right? You should.
Yeah. We have a library for the dust template. They are all from George's Magdis template with different dust temperatures. His library is all actually based on drain and Lee's library. Yes,
so yeah. It uses the drain and Lee dust physics, okay. But yeah. You didn't check if you change these, if you get different results. So how your results are robust in terms of different dust characteristics?
No. Because we emphasize that the ACD fitting is only to predict the flux at the wavelength you don't know. So we don't use the predict flux. We only use the predict flux to exclude the final source. For the rest of the bright source, we just go directly. We got the photometry from Gary Fit.
Okay.
We are not from the acid fitting. We don't depend on that.
Okay, understood. Thanks.
Shouwen, I have three questions by Guylaine on the chat. The first one is how it comes that you can find a spectroscopic redshift of 3.5 or 4 with a spectral scan built to get a redshift about 5? That's the first question.
You mean this one?
Yes.
Yes, at some point when you build an observation, an observation scan, then you select the frequency for the good redshift, and here you find a much lower redshift, but how do you come to select the right frequency to get this? It was by chance?
For the frequency selection is actually there is another plot with the CO lines versus the multiple CO lines versus the frequency and trending with the redshift. And we find that the 3 millimeter is the best choice because using the frequency, you can always get more than 2 lines. With 2 lines, you can solidly confirm the redshift. I know some other people, they are also searching for carbon 2 lines, the C plus line. But that would be very expensive because you don't know really what is the, you don't have very good constraint on the photometric redshifts. It degenerate with the dust temperature and it could be much far away from what you expected. So finally we choose the 3 millimeter. This is the ARMA one, and we use the 3 setups and leave some gaps as shown in the gray gaps, but which is enough to cover the frequencies. And the NOEMA is much nicer because there is no gap. You can go from 75 gigahertz to 100 gigahertz, no any gap.
Are the typical freaks at 1 millimeter of your sources? And how many times you observe for NOEMA at 3 millimeter?
90 gigahertz at the observed frequency.
My question is, what is the typical fluxes at 1.2 millimeter at 217 gigahertz of your sources?
1.2 gigahertz?
No. What is the typical flux of your sources at 217 gigahertz, the continuum emission?
The continuum emission, okay, let's go, this is the...
Yes, I've tried to read it, but you don't know by heart, okay.
1.2 is about 8 milijansky,
No, because I'm surprised by your 100 success rate. This is only for the follow-up of the Cosmos field, right? In Goods North, you don't have such a rate. Because I know at least one source for which there is no redshift at all.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we can speak later. Maybe I have too much noise here on the background.
No problem.
Thank you again. Other questions or comment? A very, very marginal point. At some question, at some point, I missed the interpretation of histogram you shown comparing two results and with a 0.9 sigma. On the right you show the z score as the blended minus s element divided by sigma, so by construction this sigma is around 1. So what do you mean by sigma equal to 0.9?
The sigma for our deblended, the one sigma is the, because we have Roman Carlo for the deblended photometry, so the uncertainty of the deblended photometry is Gaussian like, and the ARMA, the A3 Cosmos, it's a worker from Dejong. He's also using the similar Monte Carlo simulations to estimate the ARMA uncertainties. So we, the dispersion is actually it's about the square root about something.
Okay. Any other comment or question? We're definitely running out of time, but a last comment.
Yes, I have a small question.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
So thank you, Jim, for the talk. My question is about the infer fluxes, about when you compare it with the PEP catalog and the LibFlux, with the PEP catalog for 100 and 160 microns. When you compare that, it seems that for some cases, for example, you have larger uncertainties than the PEP catalog, or for really, or that you have these tails where you have really low fluxes that don't really match the fluxes of the PEP catalog. So, for example, if you want to use a flux from these catalogs, how do you pick them? I mean, how can you know if PEP is better, or if your catalog is better, or any other, using any other technique for the blending is better to try? Do you just use the best, the one that has the smallest error, or I don't know
Okay. So in these two plots, and I all is only for the flux to flux. I didn't show the flux uncertainty. Actually, if you consider the you may see some scatters. We have low fluxes, but when you consider it's the flux uncertainty, and it's actually agree with the PEP catalog. If you really want to know which one's better, I think ours are better because our prior catalog are much more completed. We are using everything we know in the Cosmos field and using the latest K-band catalog from LEGO's work. We call it Cosmos 2015. And the PEP catalog is older. So I believe our results are improved.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Helge, for the question. If there are no other comments or questions, write in the chat or raise hand. I'd like to thank you again, Shoen, for your talk and participation. Okay. And so let's see next week, same time, with a talk by François Minier, still invited by Guylaine. Hello, everybody.